coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. The Rocket Mortgage Classic delivered another sentimental winner for the second week in a row and some more money in our pockets as well. We get into that. And the U.S. Women's Open is here at a very, very special course as always. And much more on our upcoming Ireland trip that is less than a few weeks away. We're tuned into all sorts of fun stuff from the world of TV, movies, cinema, and everything we're watching outside the world of sports. And this week's guest is a very cool one, adjacently related to sports, but on an interesting travel journey that's taking him to all sorts of stadiums in the game of NFL and the MLB as well. Plus, we're getting into a food conversation around Irish pancakes. That's right, Irish pancakes and a ketchup debate when we always end with food. All of it. Brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. We love Desert Fox Golf, and we've loved them because they've been a longtime partner of the show. And what they do great is make great golf-related products that can be used really well for any tournaments or events. We talk about promo code Course of Life to save 10% for individual events. But if you or anyone you know is hosting a corporate outing or any sort of large-scale golf event and has at least 100 participants, be sure to hit up Desert Fox Golf for your phone caddies, your towels, your swing aid tumblers, and all the accessories that they need for their event. Tell them Course of Life sent you, and you get a $100 referral just for ordering with Desert Fox Golf. Again, tell them that Course of Life sent you. You get a $100 referral for using Desert Fox Golf products for your next golf event. Check them out at desertfoxgolf.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and the Live Tag app. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. And Ricky Fowler
How is about
back
it?
In the winner's circle. And before we get to his win, let's just say 8 winners for you in 2023 in your picks.
Thank you.
8 all-out winners, 2 weeks in a row. Hottest guy in golf betting to listen to this year is Alex Lazon.
It's me. Yeah, it really is. And again, you hear the picks here. You hear me tease the picks. I make them officially on my runyourpool.com weekly betting previews. But that's exactly where I've been white hot. Like you said, we had Keegan a couple weeks ago as the sentimental, fitting champion New England guy winning in New England. We had Ricky Fowler knocking on the doorstep, the Rocket Mortgage ambassador. Why would he not finally break the seal and win for the first time in 4 years at the Rocket Mortgage Classic? So a theme here of fitting winners, guys that are overdue, and it just seems right, and it seems to be happening for the second week in a row. Really cool to see Ricky come through, and you saw it with that winning putt, Mike. It wasn't even a celebration or a fist pump or a jump for joy. It was just a pure and utter sigh of relief.
It was just about fucking time. That was really what it was.
It's that those millions of balls, right? Like, holy crap, I finally got over the hump and won one. Got that monkey off my back.
So he now has 6 career wins. His first one, like you said, in over 4 years. And of course, he's been playing some of the best golf out there on tour, which people, I think, maybe don't really recognize. We've been talking about him all year.
Yeah.
He's 8th in total shot gained, 8th tee to green, 7th in approach to the green, and 16th around the green. He's 30th in putting. And 20th in total driving as well. So he's playing very well on the course. And you gotta ask yourself too. So I've seen this too. With this win, is he now a shoo-in for the Ryder Cup team?
All but a shoe in. Yeah, I'd say he's 90% plus in on the team. It's funny where the way this team is now shaping up with the results of the last few weeks, Mike. We're doing a little bit of a turn back the clock where we're seeing guys like Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas kind of struggling a little bit with their games, and guys like Ricky Fowler and Keegan Bradley are maybe cementing their spot in the Ryder Cup for the first time in a few go-rounds. So interesting to have kind of that generation show their face here in the Ryder Cup standings. And yeah, I put it at least a 90% chance that we see Ricky in Italy this fall.
Yeah, I think it's certainly going to be good. He played great this week. Really, to me, this was finally he was able to put together 4 good rounds, because all these other weeks when he was knocking at the door, he just couldn't get it going on Sunday. He just couldn't finish on the back nine for no reason. He was able to hold it together this week and, of course, win in the playoff over Adam Hadwin, who was not tackled
Nope, he was not.
That he was not tackled this week. And Colin Morikawa, we haven't said his name really in the top three, I feel like, all year. So he's starting to play well heading into an Open Championship in a couple weeks as well.
True. Past Open Champion. That's right. Something to consider. He's one of those due guys. If he was playing this week at the John Deere, I would pick him because he's starting to knock on the door big time amidst that little injury with the back at the Memorial. But yeah, he had a couple chances to win, frankly, on Sunday and take down Ricky and maybe post a number first in regulation. The approach shot sails a foot long and stops in the rough instead of spinning back close. So just snake bit by a few yards here and there. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Morikawa in the fold here in the next few weeks.
Let's talk about a couple other names that did well during the week. We have to talk about our good friend of the podcast. He's been on a couple times, including just a few weeks ago, Dylan Wu with the Albatross. And also Rice Enoch with an Albatross.
How crazy is that? A little two-tour update here. Two former podcast guests, both with Albatrosses. Reese's was in the DP World Tour's Betfred British Masters. Dylan Wu's was at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Odds of an Albatross, Mike, 1 in 6 million. Mm. What are the odds of two pros that have both been on the same unknown podcast making an Albatross? Got to be pretty low, right? I mean, that was a stat for the ages.
It's virtually not going to happen, and yet it did, which now means, and we've said this, there's a bump we've noticed that when players appear on this podcast, they start playing better. Dylan Wu appeared on this podcast and started being on the top of leaderboards almost immediately.
Funny how that happens. Yeah, funny. I know. Interesting.
It's just kind of crazy. Yeah. But there you go. Dylan Wu, our boy, we're part of the Wu crew. So
absolutely good to see Reese playing well again. He had a lot of injury setbacks in the last year or two, but good to see him back out there regularly, hoping to get more DP World Tour stops. And nothing wrong with an Albatross, right? That always makes the scorecard nice and low.
Exactly. Let's look at the Champions Tour, the old man circuit, the guys that we used to watch and pay attention to, however you want to describe it, really. Really, it's been for a number of years now, it's been the Berto Langer show, really. And Steve Stricker showed up recently and started winning a lot as well.
Yeah, he did.
But he's got nothing on Bernard Langer. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, well put. Bernie freaking Langer does it again. This guy is an absolute stud of a horse. He refuses to lay off on the playing schedule. He goes full tilt, full time. He has officially gotten the record for all-time Champions Tour wins, passing Hale Irwin now. Did it with just a blowout victory at the U.S. Senior Open. This was a snooze fest on Sunday afternoon. I mean, everyone in the gallery even knew what was going on. A cakewalk win for Langer. Just an Ironman and a truly a testament for anyone out there who doesn't even have themselves affiliated with much of the game that this is truly a lifelong game. Like, this guy won the Masters in the 80s, and here he is still in professional golf, grinding and winning week in and week out. It's impressive to see. And in now his late 60s, if you can imagine that.
I mean, he's 65.
Yeah.
He has 46 Champions Tour victories since joining the tour, which you can't do till you're 50.
Right.
So exactly. He's had 46 wins in 15 years.
3 years. That's a lock for 3 years right there.
How many times did Tiger win over how many years?
Yeah, so Tiger is 82 over, let's see, 96, 97 to now. 82 over 24. So quick math, that's a little over three. A little over three. That is, so you're right. If you want to make the comparison, his domination on the Champions Tour is similar in win pace to Tiger Woods is on the PGA Tour. Insane now, stuff.
How many of Bernard Langer's wins do we think are due to him anchoring his putter?
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, he was part of it. He's improvised with the changes in the game, obviously. So
he's still being accused of anchoring his putter as well.
He is. He keeps it nice and close. So. Nice and close. Yeah, you'll have to see the video for himself. But hey, regardless, it's the winning way for him. Another impressive win for Bernard Langer.
It was indeed. Let's look ahead to this weekend for the ladies, the U.S. Women's Open. They have another major. It's just been like 2 weeks since the KMPG PGA.
Yep.
They're at Pebble Beach, just a rock star lineup of courses for their majors this year.
I'm loving that.
Here we go. Pebble Beach, Minjae Lee, the defending champ, $10 million in the purse. Solid. What do you think? You want to hear some odds? You want to see if you like the chances here?
Yeah. What does the top of the board look like? Who are the top names on the betting board for the U.S. Women's Open?
Defending champ Min Jae Lee is at 28-1. That's what she's going off at.
Okay, not bad. Yeah.
But if we go to the top of the odds here, it's Rose Zhang at 12-1.
How about that? Amazing that she's commanding that much respect this early in her career. Just made her pro debut like a month ago and won. It's crazy.
Jin Young Ko 14-1.
Yep.
Hyo Joo Kim 18-1. Athaha Thitikul.
Yeah, Thitikul. Yeah. What's she at?
18-1. Same as Liana Maguire, also at 18-1.
Okay.
And the American Nelly Korda, finally an American on the list, 20-1.
No, haven't seen a lot of form from Nelly Korda. I'm going with Athaya Thitikul. That's my 20-1 lock right there. If you want a little spare U.S. Women's Open pick for this week at Pebble.
There you go. So that'll be a fun week. It'll be primetime major women's golf. Why not?
Yeah, that will be nice. Thank you for the reminder. West Coast, that will be nice. Good stuff.
Yes. Love it. Turn our attention to the John Deere Classic, a TPC Deere run. That's where the PGA Tour will be before they head out to the Open. Not a lot of big names because, of course, they're all going over there to get used to the time change.
Yeah, it is. It's that kind of season right now. We're squeezing in the kind of alternate events here, coming up with the Barbasol as well, too. A lot of guys getting over there and playing the Scottish Open the week before. That seems to be kind of the trend in recent years for a lot of the bigger names to kind of get fully adjusted to the time change, the Lynx Golf vibe, the way they're hitting their shots, the way their clubs are aligned and sit upright. So that's something that's become popular in recent years. So yeah, the JDC field is lacking a bit. I do have my sentimental winner though, and I will put it here because I've got many more picks as to who could win this week on my Run Your Pool preview. But the sentimental winner, Mike, is one of the better players in this field who has contended a few times. He's been very close, but he hasn't gotten the win yet. Denny McCarthy, who is probably leading the betting odds right now as we listen to this, is one of my picks to get it done. I feel like this is a guy who's very due to win the PGA Tour, and we've seen his name a lot on the leaderboards. So
yeah, I mean, you never know. Again, the John Deere produces some of the most first-time winners on tour.
Good shout out. Jordan Spieth, first win on the tour. 19-year-old Jordan Spieth. As well, back in 2013. So, it's a cool event. I know it's a little going to be underpublicized. It's not the greatest field in the world, but there's some good names on display. So check out the full preview again, runyourpool.com for all of my picks. But McCarthy, Mike, we're going for the three-peat here. In the three-game sweep, the outright winner. So hopefully we can get it done again.
Before we get to tuned in, let's just think, because in a couple weeks, we're going to be in Ireland. Like we said on last week's podcast, thanks to Tourism Ireland, we'll be there in the Dublin area playing some golf. And we just got to think about what we need to be prepared for as we go out there.
Yeah, well, I wanted to put you on the spot real quick because I definitely didn't go over any of this with you at all. So basically, we're counting down to Ireland here. We're under 3 weeks away from the trip. But I had to ask you, have you driven on the other side of the road? Because we're about to experience driving on the left side in Ireland.
So I've been to London back when I was in middle school. And I'm sure I was in taxis. I'm sure I was even on a bus.
We will be driven around. We're not going to be driving ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure that I was driven by somebody and was on the other side of the road.
It's frantic for about the first 30 to 45 seconds, and really just the first turns are the ones that kind of throw you off. But once you get on the main road, it feels pretty normal, and it's the new normal for the week. So I look forward to that reaction.
You've seen European Vacation, right?
Yes, I have, actually. It's been a while.
He's constantly on the wrong side of the road in that movie.
Yeah, you got to be careful where you're going there, bud.
All the time.
Gear, Mike. The weather, the Irish weather. We talked about it earlier this year when we had David Connellan on, but are you mentally prepared for the adversity of the weather? I'm hearing to not pack one rain jacket, but maybe a couple and a few pieces of rain gear for the trip.
Look, I'm just excited that it's not going to be 100 degrees out with 95% humidity.
Amen, man. So. We're in South Georgia and Central Texas, for any of those who don't know. And it is hot as balls right now. So this is going to feel like a nice fall, autumn in New England, basically, for us.
It is.
Money, the euro conversion rate, Mike, what do you think that is? That's pretty even from what I can tell. I think it's about a dollar to a euro these days.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close. I think probably the dollar is maybe a touch stronger than the euro, but Are we going to get Euros, or are we just going to make sure our cards can do international transactions?
Yeah, cards mostly, but maybe just a one transfer of currency for tipping purposes was my thought. So we'll see if we can navigate that. And then the term of the week, Mike, giving it socks. That means to basically just give it your all, you know, go for the par 5 and 2 if you have a chance, and make sure you don't leave that eagle putt short. So giving it socks basically means just giving it your all out there.
I just think it's funny that you think I'm going to have an eagle putt.
Yes. Yeah, you are. Yeah. Because what's going to happen is we're going to catch one of those 80 mile an hour breezes off the Irish Sea, and you're in your five woods just going to sail up in the air for eternity downwind, and you're going to hit the longest drive of your life out there. So get excited.
Okay. Okay. I got a 3 wood in the bag now, by the way. I still don't hit a driver, but I do have a 3 wood that goes pretty far. So
good stuff. All right. So there's the preview again. Ireland just a few weeks away. Looking forward to it.
All right, let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I caught, you know, now that HGTV is part of Max, not HBO Max, it's now just Max.
Oh, nice.
So you can watch HGTV programming. I was just looking for something to have on that didn't require a lot of mental attention.
Right.
And so we found Ugliest House in America.
Heard of it by name, but haven't watched it. So is this a tour type of show? Where are they taking us to?
So what this is they go around the country to different areas of the country, and they look at every episode is 3 different ugly homes that the homeowners want to have them come in and renovate. And the winner, they'll pick a winner from like all these different regions, and then they pick an overall winner, and that overall winner gets a $150,000 makeover.
Okay.
By HGTV. And there were some very ugly, disturbing homes in this show.
I can imagine. This reminds me of the story that goes viral every year for the ugliest dog competition, where, you know, in theory, you don't like the idea of being named the ugliest dog, but when you hear that there's a gigantic cash prize associated with it, you're willing to participate. So it sounds like these homeowners are in the same ilk as well.
Yes, yes. And they say up front, you know, most HGTV shows are about homes being beautiful and gorgeous and all this fun stuff. And this is not that show. This is not what you're going to get out of this show. Season one, I will just say, season one's winner was a former brothel.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, listen, they're not necessarily going for any sort of exterior design at brothels. You know,
the exterior looked fine. It was the interior that was a problem with all the different cameras in all the rooms.
Oh, yeah. That's not sketchy at all, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Ugliest House in America, HGTV. Love it. Movie review for you, Mike. Last Wednesday, it was $5 tickets at the movie theater locally here. So we took in No Hard Feelings.
Oh, yeah. The new Jennifer Lawrence comedy.
Yeah. R-rated comedy, which was a lot more R-rated than I thought it would be. Basically, Jennifer Lawrence has been assigned by the parents of a kind of, you know, antisocial 19-year-old to get him out of his shell before he goes to college. Turn him from a boy to a man, if you will. So it's that coming-of-age journey with the two of them. And Jennifer Lawrence, very funny. You know, you see her in a lot of more serious, reserved roles. It was cool to see her come out of her shell and get the comedic side of her acting chops. So I give it 4 out of 5 stars. A good movie to see. And just for the fans out there, if you're interested in seeing all of Jennifer Lawrence, this is the movie for you as well, too. So I don't know how you could promote a movie any better than that. That would be my tagline that I would open up with as well, too.
You know, while that may be a benefit, I hope that the rest of the movie makes it also plenty enjoyable as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. There were other parts in the movie, too. Yeah. I'm struggling to remember them all right now that you mention it. But it was a gem of a movie and very funny. And by the way, Matthew Broderick as the old dad, by the way, with gray hair, kind of makes us feel old there.
I do have to ask the question. Of course, one of the movies that bonded us when we were in college was Wedding Crashers.
Yep.
How does this compare to Wedding Crashers?
Interesting. Well, there are a lot of good one-liner zingers, a lot of aha funny moments, and there is some physical comedy as well, too. Kind of maybe a slight ode to the famous football season we know from Wedding Crashers. So there maybe are some similarities a little bit, but I don't know if it's quite comedy classic level, but definitely one of the funnier R-rated comedies I've seen in recent months.
All right, there you go. No Hard Feelings in theaters now.
Indeed.
Let's go ahead and get into this week's guest. We love highlighting unique goals and journeys in golf and in sports. And this week's guest is a beer vendor that has a very unique goal that takes a lot of traveling across the country.
I'll say, yeah. I mean, this when I first heard about this guy's journey and what he was trying to undertake and how he was going to do it, I was a little bit confused. So I had to kind of unmask it all and figured out how Reggie was going to be the first vendor to conquer every single stadium in Major League Baseball and the National Football League. An interesting journey through the world of sports through the eyes of a beer vendor coming up on this week's show.
Crazy. We'll get to that conversation with Reggie in just a moment. But first, let's talk about our friends at Live Take. This is the Live Take app where sports debates are solved once and for all. You can challenge people to audio debates, which is what we do every week over there. You can find us, COL Podcast Alex and COL Podcast Michael over there. This past week, speaking of baseball stadiums, we talked about the best in-game achievement that a player can have. Surprisingly, people think that your list of achievements is better than mine. Mine, which include the rarest of achievements that can happen in a baseball game.
Not surprised at all. Yep, not surprised at all. Thank you for the people for unveiling the truth. But yeah, there is actually some time because of when we recorded that, Mike, to vote. And people want to check that debate out recently from last week as well. We do different debates every single week, though, on golf and everything in the world of sports. It's a fun place to let your take be heard, if you will.
It is indeed. And so you can head over to your app store, download the Live Take app. You can vote on us and everybody else there and tell them whether they're right or wrong, because, you know, being right in your opinions is the most important thing in the world, Alex.
Yeah, and you can do it on the couch, like I said. Yeah, it's fun to do it in front of one or two of your friends, but like, let's actually throw it out to the masses and see what everyone thinks. You know, exactly. An unbiased observer, basically.
Exactly. So head on over to your app store, download the Live Take app today, and let your take be heard.
All right. Next up on the show, by way of Philly, he might be the most famous beer vendor in sports right now. He's on a very unique journey to pro sports stadiums across the country. It's Reggie Duval Saint joining us on the Course of Life. Reggie, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, man. Thank you for having me.
Now, it's great to have you on. As soon as I heard about this journey, I needed to showcase it to our fans. We're fans of all sports and we love attending live sports. So you definitely speak to that with the journey that you're on right now. Tell everyone first, though, where you found out and started this gig of vending at different stadiums, because as far as I knew, Craigslist was like a strange spot where you went on like a sketchy date or like you found a couch, but it sounds like you found something totally different one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I got into it completely by accident. I was on vacation in South Florida 2017 and I was just scrolling on Craigslist and I saw an ad saying, come work the MLB All-Star game. And I said to myself, oh shoot, you know, I really want to go. I took a look at the ticket prices. I was like, there's no way I can afford this right now. Okay. But hey, there was an open hiring. So I went in, went to the open call. Wasn't sure what they were going to put me down as, but they needed hot dog vendors. And I says, you know what? I'll give it a shot. And the rest was history. It was amazing. Had a great time. And it just kind of grew from there.
I'm curious. I have a little bit of service industry experience in my past life before I do what I do now, but did you have any experience with sales or vending or anything food-wise at all before that?
So I was working in banking before that. So I did some work on platform sales, primarily getting people, you know, credit cards and that kind of thing. But nothing, this is a complete kind of 180 from that. Absolutely.
Very interesting. So you really went in head first. I'm curious, when the travel aspect came into play, you were hungry after that first gig and probably wanted to see more, but when did it turn into like a full-blown travel excursion and this crazy goal of the different stadiums you're hitting?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. So the first time I was there, or the first time I was vending was, of course, the Home Run Derby and then the All-Star Game. So 2 days of just nonstop sold-out action. And like I said, the money was pretty good. You know, I had a good time. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And I was like, when is the next gig? And actually, the next gig was a regular season Marlins game. And I learned pretty quickly there that the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game were not traditional Marlins
crowd size a little bit. Yeah.
But like I said, it piqued my interest and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. Like, where, you know, when can I do the next one and next one? And the company that I had worked for, they had several different other accounts around the country. And so I tried a few other stadiums and I did pretty well. And then it dawned on me, I was like, what would it take to do every single stadium? And I kind of asked around, I was like, has anybody done this before? Yeah. A lot of guys do travel, but nobody to the extent of getting to every single one. So I kind of made that my quest and I wanted to see how far I could take that.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've had a lot of different people that have done some unique things. I've had a guy that hit a golf ball in all 50 states in 50 days. You know, we love following these unique journeys in sports because I feel like people, they kind of make it their own. And when they find out about your journey, it's their journey as well to see you hit all these different landmarks. Right. So I'm curious, in your travels, where are you as we speak right now? I know you're getting in on closing in on the 30 MLB and 30 NFL stadiums, but what's it going to take to get the final stadiums knocked off?
Okay, so for NFL, I am missing one NFL stadium, which is the Minnesota Vikings. So I'm knocking on that door, trying to get in, see what it's going to take. MLB, I'm missing five out of the 30. And this season, I'm trying to do them all again, which is pretty cool. So I started 2017. So 6 years goes by pretty quickly. But this season, I'm currently on number 17 of 30.
Okay, you're rolling along at a pretty good pace right now. Nice.
Yeah, almost halfway through the season, a little bit more than halfway there.
Okay, so the baseball and the football fans, let's talk about the differences. Let's just get it out of the way first. Who drinks more, baseball fans or football fans at the stadium?
Well, you know what? I got to say football, but like I said, there's pros and cons to both. Like I said, football, it's a bigger event. There's only 16 games a year, 8 home games, 9 now, I guess, with the new schedule. But the fans are that much more passionate, you know what I mean, for each game. Baseball, it's a longer season, more events to work, which is great. You know what I mean? It's a little bit more spread out. But the vibe is a little bit more relaxed in baseball than it is football. I think the intensity is there in football and people drink more. But on the converse side, there's fewer football games than there is baseball.
Right. They got to make that moment last, you know, because there's only so many of them in the football season. I get that. Very cool. Again, Reggie Duvall Saint joining us on this very unique sports betting journey. And now I want to get into kind of I'm curious about the economy of this, because everyone's wondering how you're making this work for yourself in terms of an actual business and commerce for yourself. Are you, you know, contracting yourself on a one-off basis with each of these places? Are you a completely independent contractor? Walk us through the process of how being a vendor works for you on a night-to-night basis.
Sure. So, well, realistically, I do work for about 15 different companies. So I have a lot of different companies within my network.
Okay.
Some of the stadiums share concessionaires and some of them share subcontractors, which makes it easier kind of to jump from one to the next. So just working within certain companies, you could do several ballparks. So some of them are interconnected in that way.
Okay.
They are pretty flexible for the most part. And with staffing, sometimes they need more people for busier games as opposed to, you know, weekday game where there's not as big of an attendance like a sold out game is. So there is some flexibility there when they want you to be there. And so I was able to kind of work within that to try to get to every single one. And
nice.
So everybody's
okay
along the way. Companies that I've worked for, they actually are glad that I'm doing this and they've encouraged me to continue.
I feel like it's good promotion for them as well too. And it's nice that you've extended that network and you found all the different concession companies. So credit to you for finding them in all the right places. In terms of like the people you've met along the way in this journey, tell me just about what the travel and the road trip life is. I mean, had you been used to doing this level of travel until you undertook this journey?
No. So I'd never done anything like this intense in terms of travel. But like I said, the cool part about it is, like I said, vending is not, to me, it feels like fun. You know what I mean? It is work. Yes, you do have to carry the products and the beer up and down the seats.
Yep.
But to me, it's fun. I get to engage with the fans, have a good time. And games are only about 3-4 hours. So realistically, I'm only working from the time the gates open until about the 7th or 8th inning when alcohol cuts off. So realistically, it's only about 3-4 hours of difficult work. You know, I don't want to say it's not difficult, but it's really only in the grand scheme of things, I'm only working for 4 or 5 hours a day.
Okay. Well, I'm curious, at the end of the shift, at the end of the game, what part of your body is hurting the most? Is it what, back, shoulders? What is it typically?
A little bit of everything, certainly combined. Like I said, a little bit of hip, a little bit of shoulder. But like I said, it's just learning to counteract that. I do a lot of yoga. I do yoga about 3-4 times a week just to kind of counteract the physical activity. But it's something I truly enjoy. Like I said, just interacting with the fans, being there, part of the atmosphere, and you feel like you're part of the game, part of the team, which is great.
Definitely. All right, let's do some quick shot questions based on your stadium journeys here. Let's start with real quick, which stadium tips the best? Who are the most generous customers you've seen in sports so far?
You know, I got to say Houston, man. Shout out to Houston.
Nice.
The incredible run that the Astros have been on the past few years has been, you know, maybe that may not be a favorite answer to other markets, but like I said, Houston has been great to me MLB-wise for the past several years. So whatever they're doing, it's working.
Nice. Yeah, I'm originally from the Northeast, but I now live in Austin, Texas. And I do know that Texas hospitality just hits different. So I'm not surprised that you said that for Houston.
Something about the Astros. Just keep on winning.
Yeah, definitely. I'm curious, when you have the supply and you're vending, which stadium empties you out the fastest? Like, I always see the beer vendor that's just got a couple left and he's doing pretty good business. That means he's emptying things out. Which stadium just clears you out the fastest where you don't even have time to make it through a lot of sections?
I got to say the Seahawks by far. Seattle Seahawks are probably my favorite NFL stadium to work. There's constant, you know what? Shout out to those fans there. They've been doing pretty well in the transition from Russell Wilson to Geno Smith. The fans have still stuck with them strong. And Geno did well last year. We'll see how the Seahawks continue down the road.
What is your sports affiliation, by the way? I'm curious. Or do you have specific hometown teams you're a fan of? Or?
I grew up in upstate New York, so I'm a Bills fan, huge Bills fan. Baseball, I got to say, Phillies have grown on me. I live in Philadelphia, and the Phillies have grown on me quite a bit. Nice. And NBA, I got to say, Sixers. NHL, I got to go Rangers.
Okay, very cool. So a little mix of New York and Philly there. Interesting. So I'm curious if you could pick one stadium / city where you had to put down roots and work a full season there. Where do you think that would be? Now, keeping in mind, this is not only a combination of the vendor life, but also just, you know, living in a city for season two.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Atlanta has grown on me quite a bit, too. I do like Truist Park quite a bit. So if I had to pick one MLB park to kind of stay at year round, I would say Truist Park.
Okay, very cool. And then we love to end our interviews with our 19th hole question. I'm going to ask it specifically for you, though. When you get done with a long day vending, I'm curious, what's the end of a long day meal look like for you? What's like your favorite meal to have at the end of the day?
Well, you know, I got to say Mexican food, probably a quesadilla, tacos, something like that. That's probably the go-to meal for me. Yeah.
Love it, man. You got to get yourself down to Texas as much as possible then. That's your jam.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Reggie, thank you so much for hopping on the Course of Life, man. Appreciate it. Looking forward to following the journey. Be sure to follow Reggie's story on Instagram as well. He's doing a great job telling it. Thanks again for being on the show.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great one.
That interview with Reggie is brought to you by Zencastr. We've been using Zencastr since pretty much the beginning to record this podcast, and it is easily the superhero of this podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, it's come through in so many clutch moments for us. I can't tell you how many times we thought something wasn't there, but Zencastr came to the rescue, saved every single bit of data we needed to record.
That's right. It's so easy. And it's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. You log in using your browser. You start recording a high quality podcast right away. You record studio quality sound and even up to 4K video with your guests. You feel a sense of Zen knowing that Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. We can say that is very, very true. You also can sound your best. Have you ever wondered what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation too. So set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. So head on over to zencastr.com/pricing, and that's zencastr.com/pricing, and use our code COURSEOFLIFE, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE to get 30% off your first month of Zencastr. We want you to have the same easy experience as we do for all of our podcasting and content needs. So head on over again, zencastr.com/pricing. It's time to share your story. Hey And we're back. Great chat there with Reggie. Interesting to hear that the cheating Astros have the best tippers in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because they're smart. See, they know where their bread's buttered. They know what they're doing behind the scenes. So they just pay everyone off that's kind of associated in the game and never get really any bad PR about it. They can slide by and do what they want. It's a wonderful system they worked out there, actually.
Interesting. Very interesting. So you're saying let the Astros fan base is in on the trash can beating cheating.
They might be the new trash can beaters themselves. Who knows? You know, anyways, that was a really cool connection with hearing Reggie's story there. Love following his travel schedule. Be sure to follow him, Reggie Lewski, on Instagram. We'll put up on CLL Podcast and Course Life Alex his contact info as well, too, if you want to get in touch with Reggie and follow more of his journey. A unique perspective, and I'm looking forward to seeing him cross off every single one of those stadiums too.
And if you like that interview plus everything else we've done here on those podcasts, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Give us a rating of your choice. Anywhere from 3 to 4 stars is required to continue listening to this podcast. And if you stop listening to this podcast, we will find you, put your headphones back on you, and make you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, it's a pretty paranoid thought to put in everyone's brain, but it is a little bit of a warning. So you can't say that you weren't notified, I guess.
I'm just saying. And if you want, you can even listen to this podcast on YouTube if you're not doing that already. We're there as well.
We're going to have a lot of videos everywhere. Coming soon on YouTube as well. I'm working on a really cool video, speaking of, thanks for bringing this up, on interesting legal ways that you can gamble in Austin, Texas. I've been working on this for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to get that going in the next week or so. And then with this trip, Mike, we are going to be big-time video guys with all the golf we're going to be playing in Ireland. So be sure to check out YouTube in the coming weeks as well.
It's going to be a lot going on in the coming weeks, so check us out there. For now, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yeah, that's right. Our food segment to end every Course of Life podcast as we count down to Ireland, introducing Irish food talk here. The item of the week is the Boxty, Mike. You ever had a Boxty before? Do you know what that is?
I have no idea what that is.
It is an Irish potato pancake, essentially. Oh. Not too far off from the Hanukkah.
A potato latke?
The treasured latke that we love on Hanukkah there. It's got a little bit more of a onion vegetable-based mixture in it as well, too. It plays nicely in breakfast, brunch, or lunch situations, for what I've seen. Lots of different sauces and meats go with it. I think you can go a sweeter or savory route. I'm going to try and get at least one on the trip, but will you try a Boxty with me?
Oh, definitely. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, how bad could that be, right? I think if you do a nice fried potato pancake well with some good toppings, that's always going to work to get your day going.
It's true. It's true.
All right, what's this ketchup debate I'm hearing about?
I gotta ask about ketchup. The never-ending debate with ketchup is once you open your ketchup, does it go back in the pantry or does it go in the fridge?
I'm 100% back in the fridge, and I'm not really super passionate about it. It's just something I've always done and continue to do. I'm not super offended by room temperature ketchup that's in the pantry. It doesn't offend me. I will still use it and have no complaints at all. But for some reason, I think I just like the idea of keeping an opened fruit-based product in the refrigerator. It just seems right for tomato. So that's where I stand on that. Where you stand?
Okay. First of all, you're wrong. ketchup is very shelf stable and can remain in the pantry at all times. And the way you really know that it's perfectly safe and the way it should be is, doesn't ketchup in a restaurant just kind of hit different to you?
It is usually a little bit better. Yeah. Why? Are they don't do any fridge with ketchup?
It doesn't get refrigerated. It's been sitting out on that table for the last month and gets constantly getting refilled every time it's empty. So that ketchup is where it is. But Kraft Heinz UK tweeted just today, July 3rd, saying, FYI, ketchup period goes period in period the period fridge 3 exclamation points.
Wow. Jeez. I would not have expected that.
Wow. Kraft Heinz UK entered the chat and threw down the gauntlet.
Interesting. Yeah, again, like I do it just kind of more out of habit, not really because I'm passionate about it. But really, my question now is, I can abide by your pantry ketchup life, but I just need to do the head-to-head and decide, is ketchup refrigerated really tasting better? Is that coolness doing something for me? I think it is, but maybe it's not. And if it's a negligible difference, then I'm willing to move it to the pantry. So I will say I'm open to negotiation, unlike lots of people in this country today.
I will say I used to keep my ketchup in the fridge, and then at some point we transitioned it to the pantry, and I enjoy my ketchup more in the pantry. And I will say, however, for legal reasons, the ketchup bottle does say to store it in the fridge after opening. It is suggested. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you do as you wish, but I'm just saying, Alex, you're wrong.
So I'm wrong, but you're going against the law and Twitter. Okay, I got it. All right, makes sense.
There you go.
All right, that's the catch-up debate for this week on the heels of July 4th. Happy 4th week to everyone out there. Enjoy it. Thanks again for tuning in to the Quarter Life Podcast. We'll see you next week.